Memory is a maze, unique to each of us. Through this practice, we explore our pasts and make a better life possible. Let's begin.
Have you ever heard of something called Ignota?
Sorry, no, but I'm sure as hell interested.
He encouraged these lucid experiences.
I'm on a beach.
The island.
I think so. It's cold.
Morgan, I heard from Caleb.
I'm living in an alternate timeline. So are you.
I'm not ashamed of a false reality.
You said this was for a TV program?
Better. A podcast.
Hello, Traveler. Thank you for your interest. We've been expecting you. A session will be held this Friday. Do not be late. If you lose your way, ask for help up.
I found my love in Avalon, beside the bay.
I want you to record the whole thing.
Someone like that can be dangerous to our group, our community.
Do you realize what kind of trouble you got your friend into?
Every night, my dreams were nightmares.
These people are dangerous.
That's only the beginning. Every journey starts with one step.
So I think I'll travel on to Avalon.
Close your eyes. A new original story. Listen and subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you stream your podcasts.
Mission log, Echo Echo, 7 Alpha. This is Captain Beckett of the Oasis Supply Shuttle Catharos. Beginning status checks on all shuttle systems in prep for final approach and landing on Kylus. Marking time to atmosphere entry in
6 minutes.
Whew! It's cold in here. Pilot condition is tired and undercaffeinated. I don't think I'll ever get used to those damn hibernation pods. Oasis puts you asleep for 4 years and then expects you to wake up and land a spaceship on an alien planet. And without a single cup of coffee. Anyway, performing system status checks. Here we go. Autopilot is fully functional. Historical course deviations were moderate. Auxiliary fuel cells, 43%. Solar shielding, 83%. Life supports, oxygen level 21%, no presence of toxic gases. Recirculation system normal, radiation exposure minimal. Refrigeration systems all reading normal. Crew vital signs looking good. Lucky bastards, they all get to sleep in. Well, someone's gotta land this puppy, I guess. Computer systems and scanners are reporting systems go. Nav computers online, checking coordinates. Oh, that's weird. This doesn't look right. According to the maps, New Oasis Colony should be coastal, but this has us further inland, too far north. These coordinates must be old. This would put our landing spot near Alpha Colony. Alright, should be no problem to adjust. I'll just need to bring up the navigation systems. Bring up the navigation system. It's not letting me change it. Computer, override nav course controls, authorization ID 3, Delta Delta 0. What the hell? It's locking me out. Oh, and great. Looks like there's a storm tracking near our entry point in the atmosphere. They were not kidding about the weather here. Maybe I could... Damn it! It's not letting me switch over to manual. No access to navigation or pilot systems. Computer, run Protocol 7.
System dropped!
Power, scanners, shields, everything's rebooting now. Something's wrong with the operating system. All the safety rides have been blocked. Computer's rejecting command code. Another drop. Maybe I can at least get power to comms. Mayday, mayday, this is Captain Beckett of the Oasis Supply Shuttle Katharos. If anyone from receiving this, please respond. The coordinates are incorrect and systems are malfunctioning, reporting multiple faults, experiencing power spikes in primary AI and various substance failures. Sensors are offline and storms are limiting visual scans. I repeat, this of the Supply Shuttle Katharos. We are offline and systems are malfunctioning. Loose power, please respond.
Log entry 5-TAC-278 Bravo, Caldwell, Liam. After the sighting of the unidentified creature, I've taken immediate steps to ensure the colony's safety. I don't know if what I saw was a friend or an enemy. What was it doing there? Was it a scout? How long had it been watching us? Were there more nearby? Whatever it was, I hope its intentions are peaceful. But we must prepare for the worst. I've secured the gate and moved more watches to the west wall. I've instructed the work crews to set up spotlights along the section of the perimeter that faces the forest. The beams don't reach the tree line, but they provide some visibility of the fields. I've also convened the council. When it comes to matters of safety, my authority is unquestioned. But if any military actions are necessary, I'll need their support. God forbid there's some kind of attack. We met in the mess hall. It was late and some of them were visibly irritated. Amos Moreau joined as well. Seeing as he's not a member of the council, I wondered how he'd heard about this unscheduled meeting. But then I noticed the others. 4 of the 5 council members were wearing those damn black robes. They'd converted. His children of the stars. They would tell him everything now. I recounted what I'd seen near the woods, and my concerns with the mysterious creature's intent towards our colony. To my surprise, they were skeptical, almost disbelieving. And instead of concern or even recommendations, they deferred to Moreau. I may not trust him, but thankfully, Amos is no fool. He agreed extra vigilance was necessary and proposed we evaluate the watch bills to ensure the extra watches could continue for the next several days. He offered to supply extra hands from his church. I was appreciative of any support, but I'm concerned with the council's integrity. If they are loyal to the Reverend and his teachings, can I be certain they have the best interests of the colony in mind? I'm afraid their judgment can no longer be trusted.
Personal log, Dr. Lauren Wood. I'm not well. The fungus, the crimson frost, is most certainly affecting my mind, my memory. I'm having trouble focusing on simple tasks, and it's difficult to recollect recent events. Bits and pieces of the day, or even previous hours, seem lost. I remember we buried Gerard Gordon. That must have been this morning. I was hesitant about touching him, or the red spores around his corpse. So we dug a hole beside the body and rolled him in. I finally told the others about the fungus. I explained it was imperative to find either a deterrent or a location where it didn't thrive. They wanted to know if it was the Crimson Frost that had made Gerard go crazy. I told them I didn't know for certain. I still don't know how he'd been infected, but for the time being I advised we keep as much physical contact from the spores as possible. I wanted to tell them I was infected, that I found it growing on my body and that it was spreading. It's on my torso now, and I can see traces of it around my fingernails. Did I tell them this? My memory is unclear here. I don't think I did. Why not? I believe I tried to say something. They were looking at me oddly. Surely they can see I'm unwell. But every time I open my mouth to warn them, I get confused. Could the fungus be doing this purposefully? Was this a defense mechanism? Something to keep a host alive? Damn it, if so, this infection is more insidious than I'd first realized. More dangerous to our party, to our colony, than I'd originally suspected. It won't even let me warn them. This deterioration of my mental state is scaring me. Amy. Amy, help me. Help me.
Sly Fox to Mother Hen. Sly Fox to Mother Hen. The shuttle isn't here. We've been waiting at the rendezvous outside Ashboro for 2 nights now, and there's still no sign. It should have already been here. That's what you had promised. That was your part of the deal. But there's nothing here. Instead, we found the shuttle name, written on one of the broken walls. Catharos. I'm guessing that was Gordon. He didn't make it. Started going batshit and turned on us. I had to put him down. The name of the ship must have been the last thing running through his crazy mind before he lost it completely. Shit gives me chills thinking about it. With the exception of the Doc and Foster, all of the search team are my people, the disgruntled few I managed to recruit. I told them what you had told me. I promised them resupply, food, working equipment, and a fresh start outside of Oasis control. The rest could be dealt with. Wood won't be difficult. She appears to be sick, and Foster would have proven useful given his technical know-how. That is, if the shuttle and equipment were here. As it stands, well, he's more of a burden than anything. With no ship and no plan, the others are getting anxious. It's not safe out here. Cordy is having doubts. And he won't be the only one. Things will go badly if I've led an insurrection just to die out here in the trees. I did my part. Sabotage, intelligence, recruitment. And in return, the sixth wave should have been redirected. You'd assured me you'd taken care of that. If this has all been a con and you didn't keep up your end of the deal, I will burn you. I'll find a way. Even out here, halfway across the universe, I'll find a way. No one double-crosses James Cash. Sly Fox out.
Dear sister, with each day that passes, it becomes more difficult to conceal my contempt for Mr. Whitlock. He walks among us freely, proudly. He shows no signs of guilt for his crime. He thinks he has escaped judgment. He thinks the stain of his sin won't cling to him in this new world. Little does he know, millions of light years won't be far enough to avoid his fate. It's an outrage that it's gone this far, that he's lived so many carefree days. Each one of them is an insult to justice. Every second he breathes is an affront to morality. I've dedicated myself to righting this wrong. Since the moment I realized his identity, revenge hasn't left my mind. But it's consumed me. I dwell on it during the day, and I dream of it at night. I've become distracted during my chores, and I can no longer pray. It makes me wonder if this new purpose is at odds with my faith. We're taught that hate is a dangerous path, a folly that besets the unfaithful among us. But surely this doesn't apply if wickedness is the object of hate, if it's aligned with the moral rule of law. Do not mistake me, sister. I want your justice. But will fate require my soul as the price? I'd thought it best to seek the Reverend's counsel on this. Surely his wisdom would shine a light. He would know the correct path forward, how to achieve this justice without betraying my faith. At the very least, I thought he should know what kind of man he's dealing with. He and Whitlock meet together privately almost daily now. I spoke with him this afternoon, before the evening service. I told him everything about you, about what Whitlock had done to you. I tried to assure him of my certainty. There was no mistake. But the Reverend didn't respond like I thought he would, like I was sure he would. There was no righteous anger. There was no decisive action. There wasn't even shock. There's barely sympathy. Instead, he told me I should pray for clarity, that my hatred was guiding me, I didn't deny it, and I would be lost if I didn't seek peace. Peace? Can you believe it? How can he expect me to seek peace with this crime? And what's more is he continues to meet with Whitlock. He did again this evening. I feel lost, sister. I know the Reverend is wise, and he knows what's best, but my heart is troubled. Can't he see how much this hurts me? The Children of the Stars are as much my family as you are. Do I have to betray one for the other? Pray for me, sister. May the stars' blessing shine down on you.
Things have taken a turn for the worst. I told you before about Gerard's death. Well now, something's happened to Lauren. It started yesterday, when she told us about the fungus. I don't know if I've ever mentioned the fungus before. Up until now, it didn't seem relevant. It's this weird stuff which grows everywhere in Kailuz. On trees, grass, bushes. We've even seen it in the fur of a few animals. None of us paid much mind. Not until we noticed it all over Gerard's body. That's when Lauren came clean. She and Caldwell were keeping secrets. They'd suspected it was dangerous. They've known for a while. I think Lauren wanted to tell us more too, but something stopped her. It's like she went blank. One minute, she was telling us all of this, and the next, she didn't seem to know where she was or who we were. This only lasted a few seconds before she snapped out of it, but after, she didn't remember what she'd been talking about. Looking back, I should have realized right then something was seriously wrong with her. But I didn't find out until later, when she awoke me last night. Well, she didn't exactly mean to wake me up, but I heard her from my tent. It sounded like she was speaking to somebody. I thought maybe she was talking to Max, who had the midwatch, but her voice continued for too long. I finally decided to go check. I followed the sound and found her a little ways away from camp, about a dozen yards into the trees. Her back was to me. She was talking into the forest, into the dark, like someone was standing right there. But she was completely alone. I couldn't make out the words, but I heard her say, "Amy." It made my skin crawl. I asked her if she was okay. She wasn't startled when I spoke. She turned around and looked at me. She had the same dazed look as earlier. I could see she didn't recognize me. And then, like before, she came out of it. All of the sudden, she was her old self. Completely cogent. Her eyes were clear, more than they had been all day. She grabbed me by the arm. She wouldn't let me go. She spoke quickly, like she was running out of time. "It's on me," she said. "The frost, it's on me like Gerard, and it will do the same." Before I could respond, she pressed her pistol into my hands. She wanted me to take it. She wouldn't let me refuse. She said she couldn't be trusted. And if she turns, I'll have to end it. She didn't let me argue. She demanded I promise her. So I did. I just wanted to keep her calm. I didn't know what to make of it. After I took the gun, she didn't say any more. She looked exhausted, so I walked her back to her tent. I kept the pistol. I figured she'd be fine for tonight, and I'd tell Cash in the morning. But this morning, Lauren didn't appear, even after the others had awoken and started making breakfast. By mid-morning, I was getting worried. I went to check on her. Her tent was empty. I don't know when, but she must have left last night, sometime after I'd gone to bed. She was gone. She disappeared like Annabelle. Like Gerard. I still have her pistol. Been thinking all morning about what she said. It's on me. It will do the same.
Is this Elizabeth Devereaux, the writer?
I was a reporter for the Globe, if that's what you mean.
I might have a story for you, if you're interested.
And what would that be about?
Murder. I adored Mr. Croft. We trusted each other.
His work had the potential to change how we thought about our place in the universe.
Aiden was different. He was exciting, a real alpha man, and that's my type, obviously.
I'd known him since we both were undergrads at Harvard. We didn't exactly run in the same sort of crowd back then.
He said he was worried Aiden's life was in danger. The threats had been made.
It was a mess. There were 8 stab wounds in the back, and the throat was cut. Oh, there was a lot of blood.
I want you to interview the suspects and tell me who's lying.
You were the last person to see him alive.
Other than the murderer, you mean?
Aiden collected Rothko's to hang on his bathroom wall. We didn't exactly run in the same circles.
You think I finally had enough and stabbed him to death? Cut his throat?
I don't want you to contact her again. She called me last night. She was hysterical.
Aiden could be a real bastard, but that doesn't mean I wanted him dead.
At the time, I didn't think much of it, but I noticed one of the steak knives was missing.
It was filled with books and paintings about the occult. Pentagrams and pyramids.
But there were accusations.
No matter what anyone says or thinks, I always respected Aiden Grant.
There was a bad energy. Aiden's death was not the first, nor was it the last.
You're talking about the affair.
You know about that?
There was someone spying on Croft.
I asked you to speak with the guests. It sounds like you're digging up more bodies.
This isn't about finding out who was in the library with the candlestick. There's no way anyone was in the room.
You see, the means and the motives weren't the problem with this case. That night, no one had the opportunity.
From the creator of the Oasis Transmissions comes a new original story, Seven Suspects, an audio fiction whodunit. Follow each episode to unravel who's lying, who's telling the truth, and who murdered Aiden Croft. Seven Suspects. Listen and subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you stream your podcasts.